Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in this chat.
Oh! 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Now, Murray, you had the bachelor party this weekend?
That's correct.
And where was it?
It was in Mystic, Connecticut, about 25 minutes from Foxwoods and Mohegan.
Okay, and so did you do some gambling?
Oh, yeah. We gambled on, like, could you jump on the float? Like, we were given odds if, like, you know, you could, like, we were betting on everything. Like, just, I bet you can't jump between those two, you know, those two hoops right there or whatever. We did it. Literally. Like, it was just gambling and debauchery all weekend.
Real degenerate there, Joe.
So you just how much money do you think that you wagered over the course of the weekend?
I would say between the 11 of us there, we blew 10 grand that night.
Whoa, just that evening. Okay. Well, listen, that's the way you got to live. You only get it one bachelor party. You understand what I'm saying? You got to go out there. You got to have some. Well, unless you're John and failed at your first marriage.
There you go. Sometimes you get more than one.
Yeah. Well, John just had a. They just got out the baseball encyclopedia and took guesses.
That was the first one.
That was the first one.
Right. Quick bachelor story. Sarge came. He was there.
Oh, hey! Oh. How'd that question go?
Was he invited?
He was. Yes.
did he bring the belt?
He did not.
Okay.
But right. He's very pleasant at the blackjack table. Like, he always gives, like, if he gets blackjack, he'll give the dealer a tip right away. Thank you very much. You know,
he's
a fine American. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Does he let the dealer know who he is?
No. Nope.
Okay. All right, does he act like Sarge or does he
Mike.
Act like
Mike? He acts like Mike.
No, he doesn't.
The only time he does it, thank you very much. It's the only time he really did it. But Mystic Pizza's famous out there. He went out there. My brother and him went for a ride to go pick up pizzas, and people recognized him and took pictures of him. No doubt. It's on Twitter. You can see it. So the Sarge has gone all the way to Mr. Connecticut.
Hang on.
Sarge being, what is he on the radio? Probably.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Averages an hour a month?
Well, if it's during like a ratings book, I don't think that he's on the air ever. Like, I think when people, he's only on when people take vacation, right?
He might be on the weekend.
Oh, okay. All right.
But Sarge was there, and he acted like Mike Riley.
He did.
Oh, how does Mike Riley act?
Uncomfortable, silent.
Oh, my God.
Talks a lot of wrestling still.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So the Sarge persona is almost like a mask to hide his insecurities.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Because I've never seen Mike Riley before.
He's a great kid. He really is.
I've only seen Sarge. All right, well, listen, you learn something new every day. You peel another layer off that onion every day. All right, Rich.
Let's recap some of the picks from last week. Dan, it was a pretty good week for you guys. Dan went 2 for 3 with his picks, and Joe Murray, 3 for 4, your lone losses being the the Steelers -4 and the Pats -1. That was a pick from Joe Murray right there.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Bengals is mine.
I didn't realize they took the Steelers, but okay. But I
took the Steelers. Oh. He's grouping us.
I sucked in college football. Can't figure it out, but in the NFL, we're doing very well.
Okay. So college football, stay away. Now, and there was also the big boxing.
I was at Foxwoods. We had lots of money on Triple G by decision. And it went to Canelo. There was an uproar.
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends who robbed an assload of money on that.
That seems fixed. Like boxing,
it's a money grab.
Yeah, of course.
For a third one, if I'm Triple G, I don't fight that third match.
Well, you know he's going to. He's going to get cash out of it, so you know he would do it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't trust the judges.
Okay,
that's the point.
Bad sport to bet on. Now
that's going to have to knock him out to make it worth.
That's why boxing seems like an insane sport to bet on. But one thing that many people say is insane to bet on is Thursday night football. We were talking about this before you guys got in there. What is your theory on how safe it is when you take a look at Thursday night football? Because obviously, no teams play the way that they normally would on a Thursday night with such a short week to prepare.
I mean, we had the Bengals last week on Thursday night. They won and covered. I'm not too worried about it, to be honest with you. I don't think it's that big of a deal, honestly. You just have to adjust knowing what you know. So as long as you adjust that and you know that it's a Thursday night game and you're not going to be expecting the exact same as you would on a Sunday game, then it's no different than betting any other game.
It's an interesting game because you get the Browns favored against the Jets by 3. That's the spread that I see. What are you guys doing?
I mean, I would never touch the Browns as a favorite. When's the last time they've been a favorite? I would completely either stay away from this game, it's Jets for me or nothing. Absolutely. And it's a Thursday night, short week. I mean, the defense for the Browns has been better.
Yeah, it's Browns for me or nothing.
You're putting money on the Browns?
No, I'm not going to do
yes,
it.
Yes, they will. They both will.
You're staying away.
Yeah, Murray's sitting there shaking his head.
What else you betting on tonight?
No. Not shaking his head. He's nodding. Murray's sitting there nodding, saying, yes, of course we're going to put money on.
Are you going to put money on? No, I'm
not. I'm going to wait till like 8:15 or something. I might go eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
I have self-control there, Joe.
No, Lifshitz, you're going to be sitting there, and you're going to be bored, and then you're going to go, hell.
No.
I want to have some stake in the game.
No, there's plenty of other stuff to bet, Fred. There's South American soccer tonight. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. How silly of me.
Of course. How could you possibly forget that?
All right, so we got the Patriots favored by 7 against the Lions. Where do you guys stand on that game?
So I look at the over right away. Just the Lions have gone over in 12 of their last 16 games. The line right now is 51.5. I bet a lot of trends last week. It worked out for me. So I'm going to continue the trend of the Lions games going over. I also think the Patriots defense will give up some points. So right away, I look at the over in that game.
Okay. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, this is another game that I don't want to touch. The line is very fishy to me. 7 is too little to be laying at home to the Lions. The line should be more around like 10 or 11 to that team, especially being 0-2. I honestly would probably go Lions or nothing.
Lions are nothing on that one.
Yes, but I'm probably not going to bet it again. I just it's a weird, weird line to me.
All right, Joe Murray, your stone cold lock of the week.
Had the Chargers last week, which worked. There's one game that I'm looking at. It's the Packers on the road at Washington. It's -2.5. It seems like a trap. It smells fishy. I still like Green Bay in that situation. For me to get Aaron Rodgers in any situation at 3 points or less, I would probably take Green Bay.
Yeah, that seems extremely low for against Washington. So that's your lock? That's the one you go with?
Yeah, and I don't like going with road favorites, but I've done it 3 weeks in a row now, so let's continue the trend.
All right, Lifshitz, what's your lock of the week?
I'm going Baltimore 5.5, facing a Denver team that is coming off two real close wins and just not convincing style at home. Now going on the road the third week, and Baltimore's coming off a long week off Thursday Night Football, off a loss. I like Baltimore here laying the 5.5. I think they're going to win by a touchdown, 10 points, something like that.
All right, so Lifshitz, put what I've got left on the Packers game. We'll do that. All right, I'm going to take your bet. What do I got, like $95? Is that right?
I think it's $100.
Okay, all right.
Are you sure you can handle that kind of wager?
Yes. Well, you want me to pay out now? Or
no. I said put it on. Let it ride. I want to go.
Let it ride.
We'll do it on the Packers game. So we'll do that.
How much money do you guys have on yourselves right now?
Again, I came from the weekend. Okay. But I think I have like $400 on me.
Okay. I carry zero cash around me at all times.
It's all Bitcoin.
Always. Always.
It's all Bitcoin.
Bitcoin and bookie money.
All right. There you go. That's how you have it. All right, so there you go. You have your favorites. What's the oddest sport or game that you bet on this last week? What's
the most fringe sport?
The most unique, if anything.
I mean, you do all sorts of
Japanese second division soccer on overnights.
Oh, man.
I'm bored. Japanese second
division
soccer.
How do you do any research on that?
I used to work for a soccer website before I came here, so I love that sport. I know those teams inside and out very well.
Okay.
Wow. Right. So it's Japanese second division soccer.
Yep.
All right, so you were doing overnights?
When I do the overnight, I'll just get, I'll dabble a little bit. I get bored, as you say,
Yeah, all right, so you'll sit there, and can you watch the game, or you just...
Yeah, you can find a stream.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'll sit there, and you're excited about it.
Yeah, it's money.
That's another thing, too, is like, I've found so many illegal streams to watch, like pay-per-views and games, and like before Red Zone, it was like, how are we going to watch a game? I like to watch the game I'm betting on.
Yeah,
right. I don't just hit up refresh on ESPN.
No. Right.
Who wants to do that?
All right. How did you find all these illegal streams?
Justin.tv.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Reddit.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So there you have it.
Nice plug.
By the way, we did do a bet this weekend. Just $20. Is Beetlejuice from the Stern Show still alive?
And yes, he is.
Yes, we lost $20.
Oh.
I mean, I was like, nope, he's dead.
Is there a bet you can make Wallach right now?
You want to go over under on his Invisalign. When do you think we'll start to notice the difference?
Or you could do it now. You could just go guess the gap, no going over. And you could take
it's like a ruler. Roar.
I'm going to say 1.5 inches.
No.
Oh, that's a big one.
No.
That's a big one. All
right. That's just mean, Joe Murray. That's
what is the
how
name
many
of the
pieces of corn can you stick between it?
Two, I've tried.
Okay,
right. My son went to the dentist yesterday, and they flossed his teeth and found a big kernel of corn in there because he brushes his teeth so well. All right. What is the name of the podcast, gentlemen?
Over Under 985. Download us on iTunes, Google, and you can follow us on 985thesportsclub.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Bet your mortgage. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
They don't have it anymore?
Oh, we will get to all the details.
Is there breaking details?
Breaking as far as like last night, but yes, there we will get to the details. Now also learning more about them as things come in, and I have 1,000 questions.
All right, and there's a young lady that works here where it seems like any time that there's a story that involves someone from Malden or Everett, she's on top of it. Now, Bird, you are from, the look of confusion on your face when you hear your name is fascinating. But if you could go to Dan's mic. Yep. Just like that. Yep. And do you know who these guys are?
No.
You've never
seen? I
haven't
really read into the story or looked at the names or anything yet.
Okay, good. All right, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Good job.
All right. Good stuff.
All right. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right, cool. So this is how I feel every time I watch a Red Sox game when the starter comes out of the game. So you know those old ASPCA commercials with the sad song and the puppy dog eyes?
Yeah.
I feel like we should have that music come on, and then for 25 cents a day, you know, we can help afford pitching lessons for these fools in the bullpen, because this historic season is going to go to crap, and it's all going to be because of that, and Alex Cora doesn't want to address it all. And lastly, just why does Robbie Scott have a job? I don't know if it affected last night. I turned it off after Joe Kelly blew it. But look up his ERA and just kind of tell the world that again, because it's ridiculous. I hate it.
Well, the scary thing, too, Jason, is that, you know, obviously the bullpen is horrendous, and it's been that way for a long time, and the issue was never addressed. But you used to be able to lean on, well, maybe because this offense is so high-powered, they might be able to make up for any deficiencies that they have on that side of the ball. However, they've gone cold as of late. The offense has not been anything near what it used to be. And matter of fact, you can almost look right to the All-Star break as to when this all started happening. So with one run last night, they've scored just 36 runs in their last 11 games, and they have just 7 homers in that span. But since the All-Star break, they have just 55 homers in 54 games, which apparently during that span is like the 6th worst team in baseball, which is abysmal for a team that has World Series expectations.
Robbie Scott's ERA is 13.5, by the way. I don't think he's making the postseason roster.
No, he's not making
the postseason. I don't think Joe Kelly's making the postseason roster either. Last night, Joe Kelly has to make the postseason roster.
I got to be honest with you. They're bringing him in when they're down 5 or 6 runs at this point, Fred.
So who's going to be in the bullpen?
All right. Just off the top of my head, I think they're going to move Nathan Eovaldi to the bullpen. They said he's going to make one more start and pitch out of the bullpen the last weekend of the regular season. So he'll be your 8th-inning guy. I think Pointer might make it as the lefty. I think you have to have a lefty. I think Stephen Wright's going to pitch out of the bullpen. Pomerantz is not on his postseason roster at all. So just off the top of my head, Barnes, Brian Johnson, maybe Pointer, Stephen Wright, Hector Velasquez. Did I miss anybody? Heath Henry, Brazier. I mean, they're all just as good as Joe Kelly is.
Well, Joe Kelly, even last night, Dennis Eckersley was talking about that, and he goes, this is essentially an audition
for October, and that's, of course, when he barfs on his shoes, and they're like, that was not good.
First round of the playoffs, you can afford not to carry that extra reliever because it's only five games. Maybe in an ALCS situation, Kelly can make it, but I mean, he's just been god-awful in every situation he's been thrown into, basically, for the last 2 months.
You mentioned the record against these teams that they're more than likely going to be playing.
I think it's 14-16 after the loss last night.
All right. Well, that is not pleasant. And so, in your
15-17, something like that.
Okay, so let's say, taking a look at the Yankees, and obviously with Judge back, that is given a little bit of a shot in the arm. How do you think that, like, I mean, predict what you think the success is going to be of the Red Sox, like starting right from the beginning of the postseason. How far do you predict that they get?
I think they can get by the Yankees only because the Yankees have a lot of younger players. I mean, you saw them almost kick the first game away, two throwing errors in the
ninth
inning.
Plus, Price won't have to pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Yes, that's correct. In the first round, he might.
No, he won't,
no,
John.
That's true. Why are you so angry?
Because he's not going to.
Okay, fine. My math was off for a second. I apologize if I've deeply offended you. Yes, Price will pitch game two, and then Chris Sale will come back for a game five if necessary. So, yes. Price will avoid Yankee Stadium, and that's important because he pitched well against the Yankees at Fenway his last time out when he pitched against them there. So I think the Red Sox can get by the Yankees if Chris Sale is good enough to go seven innings or more in both games, 1-5. I think Price has shown that maybe he can pitch well against the Yankees at Fenway in a game two.
At Fenway, I like Price.
So I think it's possible the Red Sox can get by the Yankees if they don't have to use too much of their bullpen. However, against the Astros in the ALCS, I don't see how they beat them. I don't see it. I can't see a way that they beat that Houston team. So I'll say maybe I'll give them the first round, which starts October 5th. Maybe I'll give them the first round, but I can't give them anything beyond that.
Because if you look at pitching, Houston's got the more established playoff rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, Verlander's insane in the playoffs.
Yes. All of them
were. At least he was last year.
I keep coming back to, they beat Chris Sale in the playoffs last year. And Sale, as gassed as he was more healthy then than he is now. I mean, they're going to try and pitch Sale, what, Friday night? And they're hoping for 65 pitches? I mean, the playoffs are 2 weeks away. I don't know if he's going to be able to be a guy who can get eight innings for you in game one October 5th.
Every time they show anyone from ownership, though, at these Red Sox games, it just makes me laugh because they're just like, oh, they're. And like on game one, John Henry was so excited. He was standing up with Sam Kennedy. And then, of course,
let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
I mean,
let's go, Red Sox.
That's a kick in the nuts. If you play three games there and you've got the champagne essentially waiting for you, ready to go, yeah, and you're not able to roll it out,
you have Warner like barking out signals. Oh, we want the champagne over here. Have to have the champagne over there. Better shot for TV.
Be careful with the corks.
Why would that be, John Henry? Why do you have to be careful?
They fly around all willy-nilly.
They do, and they can take someone's eye out. That's
true. They could knock me down.
No, that might happen. True. I mean, we know that.
Ow, the burning of the grapes.
Of the grapes?
Champagne is made of grapes.
Oh, okay, the grapes, okay.
And then it's stored. And then released like 1,000 cannons.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Goggles. Oh!
The pain. Make it all go away.
Jeeves, take my arms and make my palms slap each other in the motion of the clap.
By the way, I didn't hear this last night. Did Eckersley? Okay, so we said Eck last night was talking about Manfred's wife holding his wallet, which led to Eck emphatically stating that his wife would never drive his car when he's in it. Well, of course not.
That's right.
No one touches the Marrow's wheel except for him.
Yeah. Hey, baby, this ain't no regular manual. This got a sixth gear. Yeah.
Did it really happen last night?
I'm sure.
I did not hear that.
Baby, I take the wheel. Come on now. And by the way, you know where you sit when we're on the cycle. Wrap around tight, honey. because Eck don't slow down around those curves. In bed or on the cycle?
Oh, he got smoked. Wow.
It has been an absolute treat to have as much Dennis Eck as this season really that we've had. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I used to roadie for Triumph. And I can tell you, the girls in Winnipeg knew what it was at.
Oh, man.
It was a little something called No Ass, No Gas Stamp Backstage Pass. Oh, you want to meet the boys from Triumph? Well, my lady, I think we can make ourselves a deal.
Yeah, he told you.
Man, so much happened behind those Marshall stacks. Oh, baby. Molly Hatchet. Man, I remember when Crocus was opening up for Priest.
Wow.
And my boy KK Downing. I saw him a lid. And so I went backstage, and man, when they were playing Electric Eye, you know I was dealing with another kind of eye. Yeah! All right. There'll be more of that type of humor on the way. We will be right back here at the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. John, you were not in a fraternity, were you?
No, I was not.
All right, so I was. And we were hazed, but it was kind of like goofy. And you didn't have to get naked or do anything like that. There was nothing.
I had friends of mine that did, and they did have to get naked. They did have to do all sorts of weird stuff.
Like bad?
I only know what I was told. I didn't see a lot of this, but I every once in a while, you know, well, I went to school in upstate New York where it got really, really cold.
Right.
And I'd see kids like run naked from one dorm to the next with a wind chill of like 20 below. Oh, outside.
Okay. So they were doing it to like kind of embarrass and torture them.
Yes.
All right. But yeah, I actually enjoyed the hazing process. And strangely, it does make you closer with the people in your pledge class. It does. I mean, you develop lifelong friendships because you're all kind of going through it together. And ultimately, we knew that, you know, nothing was going to happen. We kidnapped one of the kidnapped in quotations, one of the older fraternity brothers and put him on this island and all this and that. Well, you hear about these stories. So there's this house in University of Oklahoma that Jay Novacek's kid went to. And by the way, it has room for 90 people. And there was just 2 years ago an $11 million renovation to it. We stayed in a house that was owned by the school that literally had newspaper in between the walls. We would just kick holes through the wall. I mean, we lived in a dump.
Same thing here. I mean, I went to a smaller school like you did. You go to fraternity parties. The houses weren't exactly, you know, mansions that we were in.
Yeah, and they were Yeah, $11 million in renovation. So, okay. It's $11 million in renovations after the largest capital campaign in the history of U.S. fraternities. The house is 33,000 square feet across three stories.
What?
It has sleeping space for 90, dining for 120, five soundproof study rooms, a recreation room with five TVs.
What school is this?
Oklahoma.
Okay.
And an outdoor basketball court. So this is a lot. But the thing is, I don't get about the hazing, 617-779-0985, because I'm fascinated by people who have been hazed like this. Well, first of all, at this fraternity, they allege that these guys would self-pleasure into ice cream and then offer the pledges of ice cream sundae, to which I would say if a fraternity brother offered me an ice cream sundae, I would be like, something's going on. Like, what guy gives another guy a nice ice cream sundae? But also, that's gnarly. I don't even know how you could get yourself to do that. But this allegation is that Novacek's kid was put in a room, and there was a video of pigs being slaughtered on the TV, and all these red lights. He had a pillowcase over his head, and this dude took a baseball bat and swung it into his stomach. And when he swung it into his stomach, he fell back and hit his head on this marble ledge. And now he's all messed up. Now, the fraternity denies it. The people that are in charge of the fraternity nationally deny it. But if it is true, where do you get off like hitting someone in the stomach with a baseball bat?
Like, when does that who thinks this stuff up? Seriously.
I mean, that's obviously no thought goes into it. But, I mean, you realize that if you hit someone with a baseball bat, things are not going to end well. This is not going to be good for your life or career. And I don't understand if someone had a baseball bat and they were going to hit you, why you would not immediately go like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And then if they won't let you go, they're screwed. Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, I went to Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania when I was rushing. My fraternity brothers, or my pledge class, had to find me on a one of the Hell Week expeditions. So the fraternity brothers took me out to the battlefield and got me naked, and I had to sit on one of the metal cannons. They put water on the cannon in the middle of the winter.
Oh, my God.
And my legs and everything in between my legs was frozen to the cannon.
Oh my God. Man. So how'd they get you off of there?
The my pledge brothers found me through a series of clues, like a scavenger hunt, and they had to go and get hot water from the McDonald's to melt me off.
So how long were you out there?
About 3 hours.
Oh Jesus. Did you now follow through with joining the fraternity?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how do you look back at that fondly?
We actually laugh about it quite a bit.
Yeah, because that's funny because you're probably in horror at the time and seeing how terrible this is. But then when you look back on it, you go, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I wasn't sober. I'll say that.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think during the entire time I pledged I was sober, especially if we knew we had to do something bad, we would just get wasted.
And on top of that, my big brother was he was Jewish. The only thing I could drink the entire time was Manischewitz for 7 months.
Oh well, we had a wine and cheese party where they said put on suits, and this sorority is going to come over, and we're going to have a wine and cheese party. And they microwaved Manischewitz in Mad Dog, and gave us like aerosol cheese, and we had to finish it all in 1 minute or like 5 minutes or something. So yeah. They gave us Lost in Orlando, where they took all our money and dropped us off in the middle of nowhere. And then we had to find our way back. But there was no nudity in mine. But I'm just fascinated if people get hit, like if they take that. And why someone would do that to someone else. Just start assaulting them. It seems odd to me. Because all our stuff was fairly tame. There was Lost in Orlando. There was the wine and cheese night. There was where you had to take encyclopedias and hold them in your palms and put your arms out.
Yeah,
we had to memorize like all the fraternity brothers' names and where they were from and what their major was. But other than that, we just got wasted all the time. We had to do 40 Edward 40 hands. Did you ever do that, Wallach?
No.
Where they would duct tape 40 ounces to your hands and they wouldn't take them off until you finished.
Okay.
But now that would be considered very bad.
Yes.
Because that would be considered forced drinking. We had a Pledge Olympics where there was certain stations that you had to go to. We had a thing that was...
What were the stations?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. But the day that... Pledge Day, the day that we got our pledges or invitations, they got a beer truck that was like nitrous.
Okay.
And... So the beer just came out consistently.
Right.
And there was a bunch of us, but a drop was not allowed to hit the ground. And so you just ended up vomiting for about an hour. You would just chug it and then vomit. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing. So I rushed a frat in college, and Hell Week was Hell Week. But the last night, we had no sleep all week. They made us stay up all night and watch, like, Purple Rain and some other crappy movies, and if we fell asleep, they would cattle prod us.
Cattle prod you?
Cattle prod you.
With the like electrical thing that they do to get cattle to behave.
Yes, a cattle prod stick, they would zap you. We all stayed up, except for one guy, Jeff, fell asleep. They kept prodding him, and he's like, screw it, I'm sleeping.
And so he was able to sleep through the prodding?
he was so tired, he slept through getting electrocuted. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. They put, what with mine, they put, our Hell Week, we had to sleep in the basement, and everyone, like, peed in, like, buckets and threw them down the stairs and put Tabasco sauce all over the place. So we had to sleep in the brother's pee.
Sounds great. Sounds totally worth it.
You're 18 years old.
Even at 18.
I mean, it wasn't pleasant.
I know, you go to college, you do some stupid stuff, but even at 18, there has to be some part of you thinking, this really might not be worth it.
But you're at the home stretch at that point.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, I do.
But I've never vomited that much in my entire life. We used to have to do shots of Tabasco.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but yeah, Hell Week, they just, like, would pee all over the floor.
So you look back at this stuff fondly?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I mean, if my son joined a fraternity or my daughter joined a sorority, I would, nowadays, now, I guess, I would not condone that behavior.
Are the women as cruel as the men? I have no idea.
I think the women is more of a mental torture.
Okay.
Like, they don't.
I'd like to hear a woman's point of view about this, because everyone hears stories about men rushing fraternities, but I never hear a woman say, oh, you should have heard what I had to do.
I think that they, like, fat shame them and stuff like that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Which for women is worse than having to sleep in pee.
I really am curious to see what they have to go through during
Hell Week. Well, one of the sororities invited a fraternity brother of mine to pledge over, and they got him drunk, and they were like, oh, you're so cute and all this, and they put women's makeup all over his face and then just started pointing at him and taking pictures and distributed them throughout campus. Jake, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh God, that is a terrifying story right there. I wasn't exactly in a fraternity, but it's basically like the brotherhood house of a sports team. I played rugby, and we just came off a game where we won like 75-2. We were, you know, one of the top teams in New England. So what happened was they thought it was a great idea to get dehydrated and do a five to six mile run in like 95 degree heat and come back to do our combine, which is benching two full beer kegs or shooting the boot, which can contain dirt, pee, rotten eggs. Any of that fun stuff.
Yeah, but the problem with having you run in that heat is that someone could die. Like, that's like something that you could die at. So you can't, like, we didn't do anything like that. We were very aware of where the limits were. Like, we didn't want people to quit.
Right.
But you wanted.
You had to push it to make it lousy, but at the same time, you couldn't go over the top because you still wanted them to finish being a pledge.
Yeah,
I get it.
You don't want
the fine line to walk.
Yeah, you don't want to get people to quit, and you don't want to be like a creep. So, and I was never overly into it. I don't even think that I had the clout to do anything. I don't remember, though. I'd probably, if you asked the people, a lot of people live in New England that were in my fraternity, they'd probably tell you that I was the biggest piece of crap in the world. But, I don't think I had enough clout to get away with much anyway.
All right, we have any women? I'm real curious to hear the stories. If they're as bad as guys.
All right, we do. We have one, and then we have to break.
Okay.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So my girlfriend is not in this sorority, but she has a good friend that was. I'm not sure which one it was, like what sorority. But she said that they would have to sit in their underwear on a washing machine. And then the other girls would, like, circle the areas on their bodies that had too much fat.
Yeah.
And say, you know, in order to get in, you got to fix this, basically.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I heard, too, is that it's all, like, fat shaming and mental stuff, which is worse. I mean, for a woman, that's way worse than for a guy sleeping in pee.
Sure. Well, if you juxtapose the two, I guess I understand. Yes.
Right, that's right. So, it's all bad.
Fat shaming, sleeping in pee.
That's right.
Fat shaming, sleeping in pee. Hi, Rich. You just walked back into the room.
I just heard fat shaming and sleeping in pee. I've been, I just got an emergency video that was sent to me that needs to be discussed.
Okay, so that's fair.
Well, you missed a lot. All right. So, we'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Everyone very excited yesterday about these guys that have the 2018 Division Championship banner. We have videos upon videos of them. We'll get to those at 8 o'clock. But first of all, hello, Rock and Roll Mike.
Yeah! What's going on?
Rock and Roll Mike, it's been a long time. Are you in Gloucester?
I don't know now, man. I don't remember. Hey, what's going on? I tried calling yesterday. You guys got through it. You were talking about KISS. We got the KISS cruise October 31st going on.
Now, are you going on the KISS cruise?
Yeah, I'm going to hop on there. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
All right, now, how much do you think the KISS cruise costs?
Probably, I don't know. I won't remember, but probably a lot of money.
All right, so...
$1,000 at least. I don't remember.
Did you see Paul Stanley on America's Got Talent last night? They announced that they're doing their final tour ever for the 17th time.
Yeah. That's been going on for 20 years. Okay, yeah, the farewell tour, what was that, 1998? What the freak?
Oh, yeah, Rock and Roll. Now, Rock and Roll Mike, do you have any new music? I know that you had the last one that you sang for us. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I tried calling yesterday. I heard you guys listening. I called in. You guys left early.
Yeah.
I was talking to Adam. What the freak happened? I don't remember. Yeah, it's a roll of the dice. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling very nice. Oh, yeah. Where am I going? I don't know. Oh, it's just a roll of the dice. Feeling nice.
Hey, Rock and Roll Mike.
Nice.
Okay, the people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, rock and roll.
You're correct. Rock and roll is indeed. Yeah, that's the station. Yes. Rock and Roll Mike, why are you not at Fenway anymore? The people miss you.
I know they miss me. I'm working my mouth, man. It's a process. I'm going to be out next season.
All right. Well, Rock and Roll Mike, stay in touch. We always like hearing from you.
Yeah. Well, what's up? When am I coming in the studio?
We'll think about that and get back to you. So what was the first song that he had?
Hot Balls.
Hot Balls. And then that sounded like it was called Roll the Dice.
Yeah.
Hot Balls into Roll the Dice. That is that could be a KISS album.
Hot Balls. That's basically every AC/DC song.
So Paul Stanley was on America's Got Talent.
KISS was. KISS performed last night. And they announced their farewell tour.
Okay, so it's going to be with Tommy Thayer and
yeah, of course it's not going to be with. I mean, it's not going to be with Ace, and it's not going to be with Peter. No.
So,
but we're still going.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah.
He's out of town. I mean, Paul Stanley's the star. I honestly, if you got rid of Gene Simmons, I still wouldn't even care. But Paul Stanley.
No, Gene Simmons is no fun.
No. Paul Stanley is banter in between his songs is the reason you go to KISS shows.
You know, I also like to paint.
I mean, that's what he does say sometimes, yes. And nobody cares about
that. I can't believe I read his book. My ear was very messed up. So now I paint. I said, Gene, I have to cover my ear with hair because it's messed up.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm excited about these guys.
What, my ear?
No. All right. About these guys from Malden.
Okay, we will get to the guys from Malden, and we will talk about all the banner talk in just a moment. Here are the headlines, no commercials.